Picture buying a book that stops working if you switch reading devices, or a movie that refuses to play because you move to a different country. Sounds absurd, right? Yet this is precisely the world we've built with digital content. When you purchase an ebook or streaming movie today, you're not really buying anything. You're renting temporary access under conditions someone else controls. This isn't about protecting artists or preventing piracy. It's about power and who gets to control the relationship between creators and their audiences. Digital locks work through encryption, scrambling content so it only plays on approved devices. Publishers and studios claim this protects against copying, but here's the uncomfortable truth. These locks don't actually stop piracy. Anyone determined to copy content can crack these protections within hours. What digital locks really do is trap legitimate customers inside corporate ecosystems while giving platforms unprecedented control over creators' work. Consider what happened when publisher Hachette disagreed with Amazon's terms in 2014. Because Hachette's books were locked into Amazon's proprietary format, they have no way to help customers move their purchases elsewhere. The books were hostages. Microsoft pioneered this strategy in the 1990s, encouraging software developers to use Windows-exclusive protection, then systematically undercutting those same partners once they became dependent. As Internet Archive founder Brewster Kahl puts it, these platforms create roach motels where content checks in but can't check out. The music industry eventually learned this lesson. When Apple's iTunes gained monopolistic power through its Fair Play DRM system, record labels fought back by offering DRM-free MP3s through Amazon. This competitive pressure eventually forced Apple to abandon music DRM entirely. Book publishers, unfortunately, missed the memo and eagerly locked their entire catalogs into Amazon's Kindle format, surrendering the very control they claimed to be protecting. Beyond market manipulation, digital locks create serious security vulnerabilities. To function, they must hide their operations from device owners, essentially acting as sophisticated spyware on your own equipment. Sony's infamous 2005 CD rootkit secretly installed software that made certain files invisible to your operating system. When malware authors discovered this backdoor, they exploited it to hide their own viruses. The fundamental problem is inescapable. Computers that deliberately hide their operations from their owners cannot be secure. As we increasingly live in a world made of computers, from cars to medical devices to pacemakers, this approach threatens not just our digital rights, but our physical safety. The entertainment industry's hidden truth? Obscurity destroys more careers than piracy. Before anyone pays for your work, they must know you exist. While copying won't make you rich, it builds the audience necessary for financial success. The internet excels at spreading information, both wanted and unwanted. Once online, content becomes nearly impossible to remove. Suppression attempts often backfire through the Streisand effect, named after Barbara Streisand's lawsuit that transformed an obscure coastal photo into a viral sensation. The internet weakened traditional gatekeepers by multiplying discovery channels. Radiohead's In Rainbows and Nine Inch Nails' Ghosts' I4 proved artists could earn more outside labels, forcing better industry terms. Converting appreciation into income works through selling physical items, merchandise, commissions, and event tickets. Randall Munroe's XKCD exemplifies this, allowing unlimited non-commercial sharing while selling merchandise build a sustainable business where wider copying increases income. Live performance remains reliable, simply charge admission. The internet's promotional power made 2013 the top-grossing year for live music. Madonna's $120 million Live Nation deal proved performers profit from popularity regardless of copying. Voluntary donations prove surprisingly viable. The Humble Indie Bundle's Pay What You Like model typically generates over $1 million per bundle. Painter Molly Crapapple raised $25,805 in 2011, then nearly $65,000 in 2012, freed from the caprice or high-handedness of a few fat cats. Unless you're your own ISP, payment processor, and retailer, you need intermediaries to reach audiences. When competition shrinks, these intermediaries become bottlenecks, extracting maximum profit from dependent creators. Modern intermediaries operate at unprecedented scale. YouTube adds as much content in 20 minutes as a cable operator manages across hundreds of channels daily, making traditional oversight impossible. This scale creates problems with intermediary liability, platforms' legal responsibility for user content. If just 0.01% of Twitter's 6,000 tweets per second infringed copyright, hourly liability could approach $1 billion. The compromise is notice and takedown. Platforms must remove flagged content to avoid liability. Everyone hates the system. Trolls abuse it, police claiming copyright on misconduct videos, companies suppressing evidence of flaws. Wrongly flagged creators face administrators prioritizing legal safety over accuracy. The real danger? Regulations making intermediaries expensive reduce their number. YouTube started with 3 people and venture capital. If legal costs dwarf technical costs, there won't be new YouTubes. Services will consolidate and offer worse terms. Fewer channels mean worse creator deals, as any choke point becomes a profit-capturing toll booth. Today's distribution abundance gives creators leverage. Tomorrow's consolidation will strip it away. Copyright wars threaten the open internet and affect everyone. When critics dismiss online discourse as trivial, they miss how these exchanges bind communities and enable significant moments. Industrial regulations should apply to industries, not individuals. Banking regulations make sense for institutions, but not for friends splitting lunch. Copyright's traditional test, making copies, no longer works because computers created hyperinflation for copying. Copyright once functioned like an anti-tank mine, designed to detonate only under heavy industrial equipment. Computers turned these into anti-personnel lines, now affecting 12-year-olds posting Harry Potter fanfiction. Copyright makes sense as industrial regulation between businesses, but not for regulating cultural activities among individuals. The internet has become essential for political campaigns, job hunting, exposing police abuses, and connecting diaspora communities. A PricewaterhouseCoopers UK study found internet access significantly improved quality of life for vulnerable populations, better health, education, employment, and civic engagement. Despite this, many countries restrict access through internet blackouts. Even liberal democracies have implemented national censor walls, typically starting with blocking child pornography. These systems aren't effective. Proponents admit they're easy to circumvent, which is why block lists remain secret. This opacity leads to overblocking and abuse. Modern censorship requires surveillance, intercepting all traffic to block specific requests. Adding censorship means adding surveillance, creating secret, unaccountable block lists that enable mass abuse. Today's world runs on computers. Cars are computers we sit in. Planes are flying computers. Houses are computers we live in. Future hearing aids will be computers inside our bodies. We'll spend our lives with computers in our bodies and our bodies inside computers. Given this reality, protection is paramount. Any computer you put in your body or put your body into should obey its user and hide nothing. Security experts know that security is a process, not a product. Real security systems are designed to be patched as flaws emerge. Digital locks increasingly demand renewability, the ability to update after shipping. If Blu-ray player keys are compromised, future discs can disable those players. Your equipment can be remotely disabled through no fault of your own. Amazon once deleted purchased copies of Orwell's 1984 from customers' Kindles during a copyright dispute, something traditional booksellers could never do. The Snowden revelations exposed Bull Run and Edge Hill, $250 million annual programs showing spy agencies deliberately sabotaging security products and standards. Security flaws can't be exploited only by good guys. Deliberately weakening security makes everyone vulnerable. Digital locks make it illegal to determine what your computer is doing, stop unwanted processes, or tell others about security issues. The W3C worsened this by baking DRM into web standards, creating browsers designed to disobey their owners' commands. Copyright evolution has always clashed with technology. Piano roll manufacturers were called pirates by sheet music composers, yet became the legitimate record industry through compulsory licensing. Record companies then tried blocking radio broadcasts, arguing their own technological appropriation was progress while radio's was piracy. This pattern repeated with cable TV and VCRs. Each time, former pirates turned establishment figures claimed their appropriation was progress, but the next wave was theft. Sony, after winning its 1984 Betamax case, later sued internet companies for facilitating copying. Entertainment executives insist today's different. The internet makes copying so easy that technology must be tamed. They're half right. Technology is different, but not how they think. Past regulations affected limited domains. Regulating digital copying means regulating everything, as computers permeate our lives. We're moving toward a world made of computers and networks, systems that must serve us, not master us. Since devices function by constant copying, copyright can't regulate copying itself. Future generations will marvel at our limited storage. In the 21st century, copying isn't a problem. It's a fact you can't solve. The Copyright Act of 1790 offered elegance, 14 years initial copyright, renewable for 14 more. This created balance. Successful works gave authors leverage for fair compensation at renewal. Blanket licenses work where digital locks fail. They enable karaoke bars, radio stations, and cover musicians to use copyrighted works without individual negotiations. ISPs could offer free downloads of all music ever through per-user fees to collectives, legitimizing current services and letting them focus on user experience. Artists have historically championed free speech and privacy, even defending detested works. We must not sacrifice these freedoms for profits, especially since content blocking consistently fails, breeding more resistant copying technologies. Technology's power lies in reducing coordination costs. While powerful entities use technology to spy and oppress, when the powerless gain organizational power, it creates fundamental change. Cryptography works. It can secure communications even from the most powerful agencies. We need infrastructure that's free and fair, promoting openness over centralization. It's never been cheaper to make art or reach an audience. Don't let retailers use DRM to control your customer relationships, or publishers use copyright to corner your market. The printing press fragmented religious authority by democratizing scripture access. Humanity lost magnificent cathedrals, but gained freedom of thought. The grand gave way to the intimate, offering its own fulfillment. The future isn't something that happens to us, it's something we build. Choose openness over control, connection over isolation, freedom over convenience. The world we're building will either amplify our humanity or diminish it. That choice belongs to us.